Hosea chapters 4 to 7. What is the problem with the world? We all know that the world is not as it should be. But why is it like that? What is the diagnosis of the disease? Why is the world filled with injustice and death, poverty and pain, disease and selfishness? Look how Hosea chapter 4 begins with an answer. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. In today's world, we know things are not what they should be. We might think about the terrorists who want to impose their ideology on the world, or the imperialism of nations who control the world in other ways. We see how thousands of lives can be destroyed when the weather delivers storms, floods, droughts, or tornadoes. Many of us live in densely populated neighbourhoods where half the people feel utterly alone. The earth can quake beneath us, causing not only immediate destruction but tidal waves of devastation later. Some of the world has too much food and wants to lose weight, whereas many others have too little food and would love to gain some weight. In the middle of life, in the height of our powers, we can be struck down by illness, leaving behind families that may never recover from such grief. When we think about these things, some of us point the finger at the Lord God of heaven and earth and ask him, why? We might worry about the effects of global warming, of human use and abuse of the planet. It's widely believed that our consumer actions have consequences on the ecology of the earth. We can grasp that human action may have a global impact, an impact far beyond the immediate circle of effect. Such holistic thinking is quite new to the modern world, but that holistic thinking is found throughout the Bible. This Bible, this book from the living God, words from the living God, it overturns the assumption that our actions can be contained or controlled. It tells us that all of reality is interconnected, that the angst and the inhumanity we find in our own hearts and lives is deeply connected to the inhumane ways of society and even the behaviour of the natural world around us. The cruelty in our own hearts is reflected in natural, ecological cruelty. Moral, or to put it another way, moral death and decay in the human heart relates to biological death and decay. Not just the environmental problems of the world, but all the problems of the world, right down to the deepest problems. All of these find a common origin, a source that implicates the human race as a whole. In the word of God spoken through Hosea the prophet 2,700 years ago, we are shown the disease that began in the human race and spread out into the whole creation, a cosmic spiritual sickness that continues to be incubated in the darkness of the human heart. See again that Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Notice how what appears to be a merely human problem stretches out to the animals and the earth itself. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the seas are dying. How can this be? What deep equation is at work here? How can human life have such a deep significance? Who are we? Who are we, if that is the case? Who are we if the darkness in our hearts affects the physical world around us, the whole creation? What are we, if that is the case? What kind of creature is humanity, if the very well-being of the whole creation is connected to our spiritual and moral health? Who are we? As we've seen in the last 2 weeks, the book of Hosea tells us how humanity was created for nothing less than marriage to the living God. We were made from the dust, but destined to share in the divine life. Inhabitants of just one tiny planet, our first parents were appointed as the king and queen of the universe, joined to the Lord God by his eternal covenant. Yeah, we might feel like insignificant animals trying to escape into our fantasy iPod, TV, and career worlds. And yet, the very real Most High God in the highest heaven takes us very, very seriously indeed. Though we live as if he weren't there, though we turn our affections onto our possessions and status and comfort, he still calls to us as a lovesick husband calls to his adulterous wife, offering another chance, a new beginning, before it's too late. The marriage covenant between the Lord God Almighty and the human race, it is in tatters. In the most graphic terms, in this book of Hosea, the Holy One of Israel calls to his unfaithful creatures. The fact that they look for other religion, the fact that they think that New Age style spirituality is better for them, it's all wrapped up in the accusations of prostitution and adultery. Look down at Hosea chapter 4 from verse 10. Look at this. Hosea chapter 4 from verse 10. They will eat, but not have enough. They'll engage in prostitution, but not increase, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, to old wine and new, which take away the understanding of my people. They consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They're unfaithful to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law to adultery. I will punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. The problem is so profound. The world is sick. The human race is sick. Alienated from the divine husband. The whole creation sinks into a bondage of vanity and decay as humanity wallows in its own religions and indulges its selfish desires. The bitter irony we meet in these chapters of Hosea is that the people that Hosea is speaking to could see that the natural world was messed up, that their own lives were messed up. They could see the world was wrong, and they departed even further from the Lord God as they served the so-called nature gods like Baal, worshipped in ways that provoked the living God even more. And seeing the disease of Israel's political and economic life, the people tried to cure the situation with merely human solutions, whether through false spiritualities or through making alliances with mere human beings. Look at the end of Hosea chapter 5 from verse 13. The ancient people of God are referred to as Ephraim and Judah. Look, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his sores, then Ephraim turned to Assyria. and sent to the great king for help. He's not able to cure you, not able to heal your sores. For I'll be like a lion to Ephraim, like a great lion to Judah. I will tear them to pieces and go away. I will carry them off and with no one to rescue them. If the Lord God of heaven and earth is our jealous lover, then what hope is there in praying to trees or hiding behind any mere creature? If the heavenly lion is hunting us, then no one can rescue us from him. These striking words of Hosea 5 verse 14, they're actually taken from Psalm 50. We won't read the psalm now, but that whole psalm, it's worth reading. The whole psalm helps us to understand all that's going on in these chapters of Hosea. The Lord's people are in a covenant relationship with him, a marriage covenant. He made everything in heaven and earth, and yet his beloved and cherished wife coldly gives herself to other lovers who can offer her nothing but abuse and shame. And we learn in Psalm 50 how the mighty one over all creation, surrounded by burning fire, comes looking for his church, who is perfect in beauty to him, the one who is joined to him by covenant. But seeing the selfishness and sin in the lives of his people, he pronounces his judgment. And I'll just read to you the end of Psalm 50, 21 to 22. He says this: "These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue." So when we read this kind of language in Hosea 5 verse 14, it's not a weird aberration of this prophet. This is how the living God feels about the world, about humanity, about his church. This is how he is. If he cannot have us, then nobody will have us. When humans speak like that, it's wrong, because we can never make such ultimate claims on one another. But that is how we stand before the Lord God. If he cannot have us, nobody will have us. If we will not respond to his infinite love and kindness, then we must face his infinite anger and vengeance. Hosea 5 verse 14, "I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a great lion to Judah. I will tear them to pieces and go away. I'll carry them off with no one to rescue them." What a terrifying prospect. Not only do we see the symptoms of a profound sickness in our hearts and in the world around us, but the real terror is yet to be when the heavenly lion comes in judgment. However bad things may seem now, there is even worse. When the divine lover kicks the door down to end our heartless, adulterous affair. And see how Hosea chapter 7 begins. As the Lord seems to almost despair of the situation, even he seems to despair of the whole thing. Look at the very end of Hosea 6. "Whenever I would restore the fortunes of my people, whenever I would heal Israel, the sins of Ephraim are exposed and the crimes of Samaria revealed. They practice deceit. Thieves break into houses. Bandits rob in the streets. But they don't realize that I remember all their evil deeds. Their sins engulf them. They are always before me." It's not as if he hasn't given us fair warning about this. In Hosea chapter 6, as we heard in our reading, we learn that this began a very long time ago, and he has passionately called to us down the ages with words of warning and judgment through his prophets, pleading with humanity down the ages. Look at Hosea chapter 6 from verse 4. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love, it's like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears as soon as the sun rises. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flashed like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Like Adam, they've broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me there. Let's begin with that verse 7 there in Hosea 6. The Lord God, to whom 1,000 years is like just a single day, recalls so vividly the very beginning when he created Adam and Eve. Our first parents reveled in a perfect creation without a shadow of darkness to be seen. They were joined to their Lord in that eternal covenant of love. It was the perfect setting for an everlasting honeymoon, with the whole of time and space spread out before the Lord God and his bride. And yet we know what happened. The love of Adam for his most generous Lord evaporated like morning mist. It barely lasted beyond the first sunrise. Now, when we read that story in Genesis chapter 3, many people wonder, what has that to do with us? We weren't in the Garden of Eden. We didn't eat the forbidden fruit. Why do we have to carry the consequences of a divorce that happened long before we were born? Hosea 6, verses 4 to 7 tells us the bitter truth. What Adam did at the beginning, we all continue to do over and over and over again. Our love lasts no longer than Adam's did. We too choose our own way rather than the way. When we think about the living God at all, and we do, we sometimes say, oh, the living God, I love him. I love the Lord my God. When we do, it is so often just like morning mist that disappears almost as soon as it appears. Our spiritual thoughts, so-called, so often turn to spiritual ways of our own preference and devising. Our religion is filled with opinions, rituals, discussions, and politics, rather than the broken-hearted, unworldly care for the widow and the orphan. The marriage covenant between the living God and his bride was broken in Eden, yes, but it is repetitively broken right here, every day, in London, today. It's broken in our flats, in our houses, every moment that we are unfaithful to our utterly faithful Lord. Is it hopeless? Is the marriage covenant irrevocably broken? Is there nothing left now except a fearful expectation of divine judgment as we continue in our unfaithful and selfish ways? Is it hopeless? Well, at the very end of Hosea chapter 5 and into the beginning of chapter 6, the Lord prophesies repentance and healing. He foresees and in his mind imagines, prophesies a time when people will speak to him as they really should. Look, from Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. They will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. And then they'll say this, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us so that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let's press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. The Lord does not despair of the world, of his creation, of humanity. When we call out to him for healing, when we trust only in him rather than our own half-baked therapies. When we trust only in him, he proves himself to be the great physician. And you'll notice, like the people in Hosea's day, they were to show their trust in the Lord God of Israel. If you notice in Hosea 6 verse 3, they would long for his appearance among them. As surely as the sun rises, they would say. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. As he's promised he would. He promised he'd come and bring healing. He will appear. He will come to us. And in chapter 1 of Hosea, we were told of a day when the Lord's Messiah would unite the whole church together. And now we're told he will appear like the sun rising to bring the profound, time-spanning, cosmic healing that would repair the divine marriage covenant with humanity. This language, doesn't it? It reminds us of that other prophecy of Jesus at the very end of the Old Testament in Malachi 4 verse 2 when it just says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Yes, it's true, the broken covenant. The broken covenant, the disrupted creation, the jealous anger of the living God, these are all way beyond our capacity to heal. In fact, whenever we try and do, we make it worse. No, we feel the symptoms. We know the condition is terminal. We cannot heal ourselves. Our therapy makes it worse. So it's such wonderful news to know that the appearing of the Lord promised in Hosea 6 verse 3 did in fact happen. He did appear with healing. The Lord became one of us. He laid his hand on both God and humanity to bring us together in his death. The living God judged our adultery and put it all to death. And then on the third day, when Jesus rose from the dead, a new creation was revealed. A renewed creation defined by faithfulness, love, righteousness, secured by a new Adam who would never turn aside to other gods. Being a prophet full of the Spirit of Christ, Hosea looked ahead to that glorious resurrection of Jesus in Hosea 6 and verse 2. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Raised from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures, Jesus has brought healing to the disease we could never cure, reconciliation to the broken marriage, so that we may live in his presence forever. Lord God, faithful one, we are so desperately sorry for the unfaithfulness of our hearts and minds, that there is no love there. We're so sorry, faithful God. We return to you, loving God. You have torn us to pieces, so you alone can heal us. There is no one who can rescue us from you other than you alone. Bind up our wounds. Let our old lives be crucified with Jesus, so that we may know the new life of the third day, the resurrection life of Jesus. Break our hearts, Lord Jesus, break our hearts, so that our love for you never disappears like the morning mist. Lord Jesus, bind us to yourself with your jealous love and never allow us to stray from you again. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the love, all the honor, all the majesty, all the dominion, and all the power, now and forever by us all. Amen.